Originals, découvrez en avant-première nos interviews sur les séries qui font l'actu.
Beta Série, partenaire média du Festival international du film de Genève 2021 et membre du jury du European Script Award 2021.
Bonjour, nous sommes donc en direct du Festival international du film de Genève, le GIF 2021, dont Beta Série est partenaire. Beta Série également membre du jury du European Script Award. Donc sur cette édition 2021, et j'ai le plaisir et l'honneur d'interviewer Henriette Steenstrup, qui est la créatrice et l'actrice principale de la série Pony, série qui est en compétition sur ce European Script Awards. C'est une série norvégienne de 6 épisodes de 33 minutes diffusée sur la plateforme nordique Viaplay et qu'on attend avec impatience sur nos écrans français. So thank you very much, Henriette, to be with us today.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So Henriette, Pony is the name of your character, is the name of the TV series. What is Pony about, the series? What it is about?
It is about modern life, in a way. It's about a single mom who has a lot of responsibilities. She has 3 children she watches and a father, and she also works in social services. So she is a caretaker in all aspects of the word.
Yeah, she's very, very busy. It's a lot of rhythm in the first episode we saw yesterday. So beyond this very authentic and touching story, what has been your intention with this series as a writer? Because you're touching many themes, you know, universal themes, motherhood, you know, mourning, also taking care of others. So what is the main theme? What is your intention behind that?
Well, I wanted to explore the dynamics in a family because I feel that there are so much drama in families in everyday life, and look for the big things in the little things, in a way. And then I also wanted to kind of lift up everyday heroes, which maybe after the pandemics actually has been lifted up a bit in public. But when I wrote this, I felt that I wanted to write a story about a lot of people work in public services. They are nurses, they are teachers, they are caretakers, but you don't really know what they do, and they kind of start in a job to be, they are altruists, and maybe the system works against them sometimes, but their intentions are good. And I wanted to kind of show that that kind of person, one of those persons' life, in a way.
Yeah, and Perini incarnates that very much. She's helpful to everybody around her. Would you say that Perini somehow is a little bit you? I mean, is it inspired from your personal life? I see also that you use a cane to walk, and in the series it's the same. So, I mean, Perni, it's you.
It's some parts of me, probably because I'm originally not a writer, but an actress. I have to kind of write something I know. So a lot of things I've experienced myself, or it's stories from others, or children in my life. But then her personality is a bit, she's maybe more of a person I would like to be. She's more of a hero than I am. And she does more of the right things. And sometimes not so much, because she also is, she has a big temper, which I have also, but I wouldn't act on it. She does a lot of things that is not so good, you know, to protect her children, and she speaks out a bit more than I do. But so I kind of, if I've been in a parenting meeting and been very frustrated, I'll go home and write a scene where I actually say what I think, and that's Perny.
yeah, makes a lot of sense. So you are the creator, writer, and also the main, the lead actress. You are Perny, as I said. Isn't it very tiring to do this all, and doesn't it generate conflicts between your different roles, or on the contrary, does it stimulate creativity?
I thought maybe it would be, because but what I experienced is that I think maybe because I have so long experience as an actor, and actors always give the control to the director, I kind of, that went very smooth. I like giving away the control to the editors and to the directors, and I did that, and I did. It didn't cost so much, but of course it is a challenge to kind of focus on set, to just do the character and the acting, because I also have thoughts about the children and how it should be played out. But I had such a good collaboration with the two directors, so it wasn't a problem, actually. And of course, it's like in season two, which we are have done, and it's in the editing room, I thought about widening the perspective, you know, to that we could... Because it's Pernille's perspective all the time. She's in all the scenes except one, which is like strange, but in the last episode. And that could be tiring for both me, but also for the audience, I thought. So I started to write it that you follow the kids and you follow the father. But then it became another series. So I went back to the perspective of Pernille. It's always her perspective. And that's a bit tiring, but that's kind of the DNA of the series, I think.
Yeah, so it's almost a franchise. We'll make prequels, sequels, midquels, and with spin-offs. And
I think the oldest daughter should have a spin-off, actually.
So yeah, you're right. She's another generation, and she has a lot to say. What have been your influences while writing Pernille? Have you seen, for instance, Better Things with and from Pamela Adlon? Do you think that somehow it's a new style of series to speak about women above their 40s, you know, with a new beginning in their life, for instance, or just taking care, as you say, of so many people around them?
I definitely have watched Better Things, and I love that series. And it's similar in the way that it's a single mom, but otherwise it's quite... It's another structure. I feel Pamela Adlon is more experimental in the way of being in one dreamy... She can have, you know, 20 minutes of on the beach, in a way. So it's more linear, maybe, Pernille. But I myself love series and films that deal with both serious themes and also are funny. So I think I might be also influenced by movies that I watched when I that was in the 90s, like more romantic comedies, British comedies like Four Weddings and a Funeral and Love Actually, which I'm kind of a sucker for emotions. I go for I want people to feel something and then laugh about it or be angry and irritated and then have a release in a way. I think you're influenced by everything you watch and see. And then there's might be a kind of a trend with the Fleabag and Afterlife that came after I wrote Pernille, but you know, they kind of deal with sorrow and they are funny at the same time. And I think people love watching Game of Thrones, but they also want to see something that I want to see, actually, things that reflects my life.
So, yeah, true characters and emotions that could be between comedy and drama, but it's true and it's about people. So that's a real need. As you said, after the pandemics, we need to find ourselves. And that's why it's so interesting. I mean, to have such a new angle, you know, and the genre is not that important. It's all about emotion.
Yeah. And comedy is not easy to make, and I just watched Ted Lasso, which I love, but it has some of the things that I love. It has true emotions, and it's truly funny, and warmth, you know, it's very warm. It's not ice cold and arrogant in a way, and it's also about the actors and how they approach it, that they don't show their characters, but they truly don't play the comedy, but just, you know, defend their characters. And I think my young actors do that brilliantly.
Yeah, great. I mean, you are great, obviously, in the series, but the others are amazing also. True, yeah. What do you think is really Norwegian about the show, if there is anything, you know, and that might surprise, you know, viewers from other countries?
I am. It's quite Norwegian because it's a very Norwegian society, and probably the child services will work otherwise in other countries. But what surprised me in a way when I showed it in France, in Serious Mania, was that the French were they thought about the feminist aspect a lot. And probably that will be more powerful in other countries than in Norway, because I think Pernille could be a man, she could be a single dad. But in Norway and Sweden and Denmark, maybe we come very far in a way in the feminist perspective. But it will probably hit harder in that way, sense, in France or in other countries, I think.
Yeah, because in our countries, this revolution is not totally done. So
that was my
it's on the process, you know. It's just going now. Okay, so very very interesting. You know, before we leave, and first we understand that there is a second season. That's a very good news. Any other project, or this is your main focus, and it would make a lot of sense. And also that an actress, maybe you have other project on your table.
Yeah, we're actually even making a third season. So I'm finishing writing that now, and we're doing it in the winter, and then after that, I'm in another series on Netflix called Ragnarok. So yeah. That's a season three.
And as an actress?
As an actress, only an actress. And then I have another project that is in the starting phase, which I hope will be, I think it will be a crime story.
Okay, so a lot of things happening in your career. So we hope to see all these projects, you know, and to hear you on Beta Serial Radio very, very soon. We cross fingers for Pernille on this European Script Festival, on this edition. And wish you good luck. Thank you so much, Henriette.
Thank you so much for having me.
Originals, découvrez en avant-première nos interviews sur les séries qui font l'actu.
Beta Série, partenaire média du Festival international du film de Genève 2021 et membre du jury du European Script Award 2021.